On my way to the great Husseiniyye of Zanjan, all the mosques, tekkiyes, and Husseiniyyes were brimmed over with lovers of Imam Hussein, who wore mourning in their own way. The streets and alleys are all clad in black as a sign of grief for Imam Hussein. Look, it's the great Husseiniyye of Zanjan, a prominent religious site. The greatest mourning ceremonies are held in here. The grandeur of the presence of hundreds of thousands of people here is so great. I was wondering that the love for Imam Hussein never dies. It's like a fire in the heart of all freedom-seeking people, which burns forever. Religious ceremonies in Iran more than often include food offerings, whether they are held at public venues like mosques or private residences. During Muharram, every village, township or city is abuzz with preparation for votive food that is offered by benefactors and ordinary people.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program.
This is A to Z. An introduction into Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, being patient with children who are toddlers. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. It is such an honor to be here at your service, dear friends. In today's episode, we are talking about being patient with children who are toddlers. Now, patience, of course, is something which we have defined in our programs here on A to Z. When it comes to an Islamic lifestyle, because, being patient is part of an Islamic lifestyle. Now, this kind of being patient, we have defined it as well. It is more of a determination, a steadfastness, this resilience and perseverance to keep on doing what is right and to keep on walking on the path of Islam and to keep on living an Islamic lifestyle. Now, of course, having children, as we have said, is one of the ultimate purposes of getting married. Now, we kind of talked a little bit in previous programs about how, you know, there is a phase of children, which is the infant phase. We kind of want to talk about a little bit, excuse me, about the toddler phase. So, of course, this is when children, you know, even though toddler is not really considered when they're crawling, but we're going to add that phase in there, right? The crawling and just starting to walk and kind of, you know, standing on their tippy toes and, you know, pulling stuff off from, you know, the desk or the drawer, breaking things in this process. So we really need to be patient in this phase, right? Alhamdulillah, if we were able to pass the infant phase where children have a tendency to cry a lot and cry at very odd times, such as the middle of the night or very, very early in the morning, sometimes before Fajr, which itself is interesting. But we get to the toddler age, you know, in the toddler age, we are definitely going to have to be patient. Welcome back. This is A to Z on IRIB English Radio. So, friends, we are talking about being patient with children who are toddlers. Now, again, we have said in previous programs that one of the pivotal and most important things to do is to have a perspective, which is the perspective of an Islamic lifestyle, not a secular, you know, non-religious kind of perspective, because that will just make things worse. And rather than giving us more patience, it will take away our patience, because mentally we are not in sync with an Islamic lifestyle and with the divine ordainments and ordinances and laws and a prescription of the Almighty Allah. So anyways, one of the things that, you know, we kind of have to realize is that, well, listen, in the crawling phase, right, they're going to put everything in their mouth, right? This is how they kind of learn and they discover and experience these kind of things. On the other hand, they're going to, in the toddler phase when they start walking, well, not only are they going to fall down, but they're going to bring down things with them as well. They're going to pull on things, they're going to pull the tablecloth, which is going to result in things breaking, right? This is all part of the natural process of a child's growth and development, right? And so once we realize, listen, this is normal for the child to do this, right? So this automatically will give us a sense and a source of patience, right? And we also kind of need to think about that we went through these stages as well. And our parents were patient with us as well. God bless them for all of their efforts in raising us. And so, you know, we kind of realize, listen, this is normal. It's okay. We as a parent have to make certain changes in our life so that the toddler is at ease. Instead of us making the toddler making changes in their two-year-old life in order, you know, for us to live at ease, right? No, you know, take things off the table, you know, stop putting the tablecloth on there, and kind of get used to walking around the toddler and kind of, you know, being mindful of what they do and being careful and protecting them, and kind of enjoy this phase of your child's life. And again, it will pass. And there are many sources out there which you can read up on to tell you what else to do when it comes to being patient. But we humbly put just a few at your service. This is an Islamic lifestyle that we want to implement in our lives.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program.
Wildfires in Greece, Turkey, the United States.
Palestinian prisoners in Israeli jails continue to engage in hunger strikes.
Kim Yo-jong, the powerful sister of North Korean leader.
On the news line.
African leaders have once again traveled to Russia in an effort to discuss solutions to the war in Ukraine and subsequently bring an end to a grain crisis already threatening the continent. Addressing the summit were representatives from 49 of Africa's 54 nations, including 17 heads of state and 4 heads of government in attendance. Putin said Russia was ready to replace Ukraine's grain export to Africa on both a commercial and aid basis to fulfill Moscow's critical role in global food security. Putin said Moscow will be ready to provide Burkina Faso, Zimbabwe, Mali, Somalia, Central African Republic, and Eritrea with 25 to 50,000 tons of free grain each in the next 3 to 4 months. Putin also hit back at countries critical of Moscow's decision to quit the Black Sea grain deal, saying a parallel memorandum promising to facilitate Russian grain and fertilizer exports had been ignored. Putin noted that over 70% of Ukrainian grain exported under the deal had gone to countries with above-average income. The Russian president said poorest countries like Sudan had been, quote, screwed over and received less than 3% of the shipments. Putin criticized Western sanctions imposed on Moscow in response to the war in Ukraine, saying on the one hand, Western countries are obstructing supplies of our grain and fertilizers, while on the other, they hypocritically blame us for the current crisis situation on the world food market. Moscow argues that restrictions on payments, logistics, and insurance are a barrier to shipments. The summit in St. Petersburg comes a month after African leaders presented their peace initiative to both Putin and Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky, but it has so far failed to gain traction with either side. Moscow said it respected their peace proposal on Ukraine and was carefully studying it. But apart from grain, the St. Petersburg summit also focused on opposition to neocolonialism. Addressing the summit, President Putin said,
"We pointed out our joint determination to oppose neocolonialism, illegal sanctions, and attempts to undermine traditional moral values. We confirmed our determination to hold summits once in 3 years."
The Russian president reiterated that the summit was seeking a multipolar world order based on international law and mutual respect.
"The result of our work is a solid pack of documents. Firstly, I will point out the St. Petersburg Declaration. It talks about a strategic long-term partnership between Russia and African countries. It also talks about the dedication of all our countries to forming a just and multipolar world order based on universally recognized principles of international law and the UN Charter."
Putin further noted that the BRICS countries, namely Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, are taking measures to develop their economic trade relations in their own currencies in an effort to ditch the US dollar.
"Our BRICS countries are developing relations in national currencies and settlements are increasing. In this regard, it seems to me that the bank can also play an important role in the development of our joint activities."
He hailed BRICS for developing their trade relations while also taking a jab at the United States for using the dollar as a political tool against other nations.
What is happening in world of finances and the use of dollar is an instrument of political struggle. But the members of our organization, the BRICS, are not friends against anyone. They're working in each other's interests.
The comments by the Russian president from one side and the St. Petersburg summit attended by the African leaders from the other are clear indications of a shift toward a multipolar world. African nations have been distancing themselves from the West and moving closer to Moscow for help amid coups and other instabilities across their continent. The war in Ukraine has played the role of a catalyst in this regard. From the global dominance of the US dollar to supply chains and international alliances, everything is in the direction of a multipolar world. Washington unilateral sanctions on Russia, Iran, and China, and many other countries have prompted these nations to form new alliances with the aim of creating alternative payment and financial systems outside US control. With market chains raising prices in a number of countries like Germany from one hand and looming global food shortages on the other, it seems that the need for countries like Russia, China, India, Brazil, and Iran to form their alliance in the face of US unilateralism is gaining momentum. Maybe that's why the Russian president talks of a bright future in the emerging multipolar world.
England is facing a homelessness crisis. According to the latest official figures, the number of people living in temporary accommodation in England has hit a 25-year high. Over 104,000 households were in temporary accommodation by the end of March of this year, the highest figure since records began in 1998. The figure shows a 10% jump of homeless people in England compared to last year. 9,520 more households have been placed in temporary accommodation since 2022.
Catherine West.
Thank you very much, Madam Deputy Speaker. Could we have a debate in government time on a very sad record which will be broken? The highest ever number of families in homeless households in temporary accommodation in London by the end of this summer. Ever. The long-term impacts on health and educational attainment of our citizens is at risk. Would she agree with me that in the current climate, with the mortgage crisis, the unaffordable rents going up by 20% in some London boroughs, and very, very long queues for social homes because of the lack of money from the government to build them, we do desperately need to tackle the housing crisis in London and beyond.
Over 131,000 children are also in temporary accommodation, the highest figure on record. Almost 14,000 households were in hotels or bed and breakfast in the 3 months to March. Figures also show a sharp rise in homelessness in older people in the year to the 31st of March, with a 33.3% increase in the number of homeless households with a priority need due to old age. Experts say loss of a private tenancy is the leading cause of homelessness. Instability in the private rental market, exacerbated in the short term by rising interest rates and mortgage payment increases, has led to steep rent rises and property owners deciding to sell their properties. Campaigners say a lack of housing, exacerbated by a decision by ministers to freeze local housing allowance rates for the past 3 years, also lies at the root of the problem. The number of households being issued with no-fault evictions has also risen in the past year, with a 21% increase in those at risk of homelessness due to a no-fault eviction. The government has also frozen the local housing allowance at 2020 levels. First, the amount which people claiming household benefits who rent privately are entitled.
Let's test that, because the question he refuses to answer, he actually knows the answer to this question, is £2,900 extra. That's the cost to the average family of the Tory mortgage penalty. Now, he was warned by experts about this as long ago as autumn last year, but he either didn't get it, didn't believe it, or didn't care, because he certainly didn't do anything. And when I raised this a couple of months ago, he had the gall to stand at that dispatch box and say he was delivering for homeowners. How is an extra £2,900 a year on repayment delivering for homeowners?
The homelessness crisis in England comes at the heels of a mortgage crisis, which has been brewing for some time. Back in June, the Bank of England hiked interest rates by 50 basis points to 5%. The move has affected millions of homeowners, as the interest rates on many mortgages are directly linked to the central bank's base rate. Renters have seen their payments increase as buy-to-let landlords pass on higher mortgage repayments. Estimates show interest rate hike would see 1.2 million UK households run out of savings by the end of the year because of higher mortgage repayments. Higher borrowing costs are not just affecting households with mortgages and other loans, but forcing companies to tread more carefully in their management of costs in a tougher economy. The mortgage crisis comes against the backdrop of a slowdown in the economy.
If you push interest rates too high, you may be able to bring inflation down, but you will certainly push the economy into recession, and you will cause problems with the mortgage markets.
The inflation in June stood at 7.9%, a little bit lower than 8.2% in May, but still well above the Bank of England's 2% target. But at the same time, economic output fell 0.1% in May from April. All sectors of the economy contracted, with the exception of services. There are now fears of a possible recession due to the inflation and rising interest rates.
I am really worried about this. I am very, very worried about this. I think the word stagflation, stag being the recession side of growth, flation being high price inflation, is going to be something that you and me and others will say way too many times in the next few months.
Devastating wildfires have gripped south of the Mediterranean region and North Africa amid soaring temperatures and an unprecedented heat wave. Thousands of tourists and residents have been forced to flee a popular Greek vacation island, Rhodes, due to devastating wildfires that have been burning for days. As the fires continue to spread across the island, approximately 19,000 people have been forced to evacuate, including both tourists and residents. The scale of the evacuation is unprecedented, making it the largest ever in Greece's history. However, Greece is not the only country to have been affected by the crisis. Blazes have also spread to parts of Croatia, Portugal, Italy and Turkey and Spain. Algeria has also recorded scores of blazes over 16 provinces, all made more extreme by fierce winds and continued extreme heat. Wildfires spreading through Algeria have left dozens of people dead and forced the evacuation of hundreds of people from their homes. Fires in pine forests in Tunisia, near its border with Algeria, have forced scores of people to be evacuated by sea and by land, with temperatures nearing 50 degrees Celsius. Wildfires also broke out in the woodlands of Latakia, a governorate on the Mediterranean in northwestern Syria. Record-breaking temperatures across Europe and North Africa have left the land dry and susceptible to wildfires. Almost half of the EU is said to be at risk of severe drought. It's now widely believed that European and North African temperatures would have been virtually impossible without the effects of climate change.
The situation that we see in southern Europe shows that we are in the climate crisis. It's already here. It is not unexpected. The scientists have been telling us about this.
In terms of heat waves, more often we see that every study that we do, we see the fingerprint of climate change in intensifying this type of events of heat waves. So it's pretty clear, it's unequivocal that human-induced climate change is influencing heat wave events in terms of intensity and the frequency of occurrence.
The unprecedented heat waves and rising temperatures have once again raised calls for a collective action to tackle the crisis. Petteri Talas, who heads the World Meteorological Organization, has said the reduction of fossil fuel consumption is the key to reverse the negative trend in climate change and mitigate weather extremes such as heat waves, floods and droughts.
Key issue for the welfare of mankind and biosphere and for the coming generations and also for the global economy is that we have to reduce our consumption of fossil fuels, which is the main reason for these heat waves, flooding events, droughts and more intense tropical storms, and also melting of glaciers worldwide.
He noted that even though actions were being taken to strengthen the response to the threat of climate change and develop more clean energy sources such as wind, solar and nuclear power, they were not happening fast enough. Experts warn that there is no immediate respite in sight from this summer of extremes. The UN Meteorological Organization said that high temperatures around the world could continue into August. The start of the El Niño weather phenomenon in June is only expected to amplify the frequency and intensity of these extreme events. The global weather phenomenon refers to when waters in the Pacific Ocean become much warmer than usual. Studies have shown the connection between rapid warming and changes to essential weather patterns. These climate extremes also mean stronger storms, more intense droughts and heat waves. Earlier in July, UN Chief Antonio Guterres warned that climate change is out of control.
We are hurtling towards disaster, eyes wide open, with far too many willing it all on wishful thinking and proven technologies and silver bullet solutions. It's time to wake up and step up.
More frequent and more intense heat waves are disrupting life around the world and causing life-threatening temperatures. Places that are sweltering under dangerous heat include China, India, Central America and the West Asia region. The United States has been the world's biggest polluter since the Industrial Revolution, emitting significant greenhouse gases, particularly carbon dioxide. In 2022 alone, the U.S. was responsible for 13% of the global CO2 discharge, emitting around 5 billion metric tons of CO2 into the global atmosphere.
Early Monday, two drones targeted the Russian capital, Moscow. Soon after, in a rare admission of responsibility for attacks inside Russia, Ukrainian military intelligence warned such attacks on the Russian capital city will continue and increase in scale. In a comment to the Ukrainian newspaper Kyiv Post, a Ukrainian military intelligence spokesman named Andriy Yusov said, "The strikes on the key facilities of Russia's security sector located in Moscow testify to the fact that the Putin regime is unable to fully control the sky even for the protection of the most important facilities. Obviously, this situation will continue and increase in scale." Russian Defense Ministry said it had used electronic warfare systems and caused the two drones to crash. Moscow Mayor Sergei Sobyanin said the drones crashed into two non-residential buildings, adding that there was no serious damage or casualties. Russian Foreign Ministry spokeswoman Maria Zakharova called the drone attack an act of international terrorism. The operations risk a major escalation, especially if Russia believes the US and NATO are backing the attacks. This is the second time that Kyiv has attempted to attack Moscow facilities with unmanned aerial vehicles this month. On July 4th, Ukraine launched a 5-drone strike, which also failed. Back then, the Russian Foreign Ministry said that Ukrainian drone attacks on Moscow and other areas inside Russia would not be possible without support from the US and NATO. The ministry also accused the US and NATO of training drone operators and providing the necessary intelligence to launch such operations. It is not clear if the US and NATO are enabling drone attacks inside Russia, but there are signs the Western powers are involved in some way. Following drone attacks on Russian airbases in December 2022, an Asia Times report cited military sources in NATO countries who said the drones used US satellite GPS data to hit their targets. U.S. military equipment has also been used in attacks on Russian territory. A cross-border attack in Russia's Belgorod region was launched on May 22nd, using U.S. armored vehicles and NATO rifles. A larger Ukrainian drone attack was also launched on Crimea early Monday, with the Russian Defense Ministry saying 17 Ukrainian drones were downed. The head of Crimea said an ammunition depot on the peninsula was hit and a private house was damaged. Russian Foreign Ministry condemned the attacks, describing them as yet another use of terrorist methods and intimidation of the civilian population by the military and political leadership of Ukraine. It added, the Russian Federation reserves the right to take harsh retaliatory measures. Also, Deputy Chairman of the Russian Security Council, Dmitry Medvedev, said that Ukraine was starved of any military success and needed to score informational wins, even if bogus and bloated. He also claimed there are rising concerns among the Ukrainian public and cited the impatience of what he called Kyiv's Western masters for battlefield victories. He said it was essential that Moscow broaden the range of targets it struck in Ukraine. Ukraine has launched numerous drone attacks against Russian targets in recent months. In May, Kyiv denied carrying out a drone attack on the Kremlin, which Russia said amounted to an attempt on Russian President Vladimir Putin's life. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky had already said on Sunday that Ukraine's military would retaliate Russian missile strikes on the port city of Odessa. The latest drone attacks on Moscow would definitely complicate the process of reaching a peaceful solution to end the war.
بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
قد عودك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
السلام عليكم. Respected brothers and sisters, dear listeners of IRB English Radio, welcome to Let's Recite the Quran Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions on practical tajweed rules and short tafsiri messages from the verses or ayat of the Quran Kareem. I really welcome you all, and I'm really happy that I have Brother Hussein Ruhullah, Ali Nasir, Hassan Nasrullah, and Fawad Haider with me today in this session. Assalamu alaikum and welcome everyone. Fine?
Wa alaikum salam sir, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Okay, Ali Nasir?
Alaikum well? Salam sir, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. And Hassan Nasrullah?
Alaikum salam sir, how are you?
Alhamdulillah, thank you so much, I'm good. And Fawad Haider?
Fine sir.
Alhamdulillah. So brothers and sisters, we hope you're fine inshallah. We really recommend you stay with us till the end of this session. Inshallah, today we will talk about ayah 132 and 133 of Surah An-Nisa on page 99. Brothers and sisters, Fawad, Hassan, Hussein, Ali, Nasir have opened their Quran. They're ready inshallah to go to this surah. And let's do it so. Please open your Quran. Turn to page 99, ayah 132 and 133. Let's listen to the recitation.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Walillahi ma fis samawati wa ma fil ard wa kafa billahi wakila. إن يشأ يذهبكم أيها الناس ويأتي بآخرين. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ ذَٰلِكَ قَدِيرًا.
MashaAllah, nice recitation. That was amazing. Let me read once these two verses and have a short explanation, okay? As much as we could. Then we'll go to the tajweed part, okay? Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Allah Almighty says in Ayah 132 of Surah An-Nisa, وَلِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. To Allah Almighty belongs whatever is in the heavens and whatever is on the earth. وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ وَكِيلًا, and Allah Almighty suffices as trustee. In the next ayah, إِيَّشَأْ يُظْهِبْكُمْ أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ وَيَأْتِ بِآخَرِينَ. If he wishes, Allah Almighty. If Allah Almighty wishes, he will take you away, O mankind, and bring others in your place. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلَى ذَلِكَ قَدِيرًا. Allah Almighty has the power to do that. So you must believe that whatever in the earth, whatever in the skies, in the heavens you see, belong to Allah Almighty. Okay? So this is not okay if you what? For example, God forbid, if one of your family members passes away, you complain to Allah Almighty, why did you kill my friend, for example? Why did you do so-so to my family? Why did you so-so and on to my family? You don't have this right. Why? Based on emotions, yeah, okay, you did. But in fact, okay, based on your beliefs, if you see it, this is not okay.
So it's like asking Allah, why did you do this, considered a sin?
No, if it's not like in belief that you don't have the right, if you, God forbid, you ask this with this belief that you don't have the right because he was my dad, because he was my friend, because he was my mom, because he was my brother. With this belief, okay, if you so and you believe that Allah Almighty must not do so, you're confronting his wisdom. You're confronting Allah Almighty's mercy. You're confronting Allah Almighty's power.
Not in a way that you're angry, but in a way that why did you do this?
Oh, it's okay. Like talking to Allah Almighty, it's okay. But in fact, if you understand, if you believe that Allah Almighty can do this, and you're not confronting Allah Almighty because...
And you're just questioning.
Yeah, just questioning. It's okay. But an iman, okay, the true iman tells you that whenever you lose a person from your family, what would you say instead of complaining? Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Allah Almighty says, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَبَشَّ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. Okay, we test you, okay, by taking away, for example, a person from your family, by taking away some of your properties, okay, by making you face troubles, okay, hunger, these things, okay, famine, these things. So, but وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ, at the same time, Allah Almighty says, you should give good news today, patient people. Okay, those who tolerate this situation. الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ. When a musiba hits them, okay? Alright? الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا. Instead of confronting, instead of questioning, what do they do? إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. We belong to Allah Almighty, and to Him we will return. Instead of, why did you kill my dad? God forbid. Why would you do that? You don't have the right to do this. Oh man, you don't have the right to ask these questions. So, then in the next ayah, Allah Almighty says what? إِيَّشَأْ يُظْهِبْكُمْ أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ. If Allah Almighty wishes, He will take you away. What does it mean? This ayah talks about this, that if we Muslims, we, our nation, my nation, your nation, if we don't pay attention to Allah Almighty's rulings and the religion of Islam, because we're Muslims, okay? If we really do not make our efforts in order to spread the message of Islam, okay? So basically Allah says, I can take you away. Allah Almighty says, إِيَّشَأْ يُذْهِبْكُمْ أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ وَيَأْتِ بِآخَرِينَ. And you should believe, you should know that. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلَى ذَلِكَ قَدِيرًا. Allah Almighty has the power to do that, okay? Because He has the Malik. Yeah, that's all, guys. Refer to the Tafasir books, inshallah, for complete information, complete details. قرآني نبض حياتي قرآني طهر ذاتي قرآني عصمة أمري قرآني طوق نجاتي قرآني نبض حياتي. How to learn Quran easy? What is the correct way to read the Quran?
What is the correct way to learn Arabic and understand the Quran? Be with Let's Recite the Quran.
Brothers and sisters, now it's time for us to go and mention some tajweed points, necessary ones that you need to know about the fluency, about the correct recitation of these two verses. Okay, Fawad Hassan Hussein Ali Nasir. وَلِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. In the previous session, we talked about the rules here. Okay?
Yes.
We will skip this part. وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ وَكِيلًا. Only one word. One point. The word Allah, the pronunciation is important in Tajweed. You sometimes pronounce it with an A sound, sometimes with an A sound. When do you pronounce with an A sound? Hussein will tell us. And when we pronounce it with an A sound, Ali Nasir will tell us. Hussein, when do we pronounce the word Allah with an A sound? Allah, this way.
When Fatha and Zamma comes before the Allah.
Before the word Allah.
Yeah, before the word Allah.
Because nothing comes before Allah.
Yeah.
So whenever you see the word Allah, take a look at the word before it. If it ends in Fatha or Dhamma, it means the haraka, the vowel before the word Allah is a fatha or a dhamma. Pronounce the word Allah with an a sound. All right? For example, وَكَانَ اللَّهُ. Right? In the previous ayah. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ. Okay? Or in this ayah as well, we have وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلَى ذَلِكَ قَدِيرٌ. Ali Nasir, when do we pronounce it with an a sound? With an sound. Whenever you have
a kasra
before the word Allah. Instead of that fatha or dhamma, you pronounce it with an a sound. Like what? Like here we have wakafa for what?
Wakafa billahi.
Ahsan billahi. Wakafa billahi wakila. So, wakilan. Tanween fatha, whenever the rules of stopping says, whenever you stop at the end of this word, the rule says, tanween fatha changes to Hasan?
Alif.
Alif mad. Wakilan is pronounced as?
Wakila.
La. Make an a sound with it. That was nice. So, in the next ayah, In yasha' yudhibkum. In yasha, nun sakin plus ya, you should merge the sound and extend the sound and also nasal sound produce, okay? How do you do this for what?
Iyasha.
The nun is merged into ya. Iyasha. Yudhibukum. Iyasha. Yudhibukum. The letter dal, ha, they are important.
And ba Ali Nasir,
what
important.
About that?
Ba.
Yeah, I wanted to ask Ali Nasir this one. Thanks, Fawad. Ali Nasir, what about the letter ba? Do we have any special rule about the letter ba that appears sakin?
Yes.
What's the rule?
Five letters.
Oh, there's five letters? Okay.
When they appear sakin,
all right,
we should produce an echoing sound.
An echoing sound. What letters are they?
Qaf,
Ta,
Ba,
Jim,
Dal.
So, brothers and sisters, as Ali Nasir said, mashallah, these five letters, whenever they appear sakin, whenever they have a sukun on the top, or even not a sukun sign, even, we mean no haraka, no a'i'u. So, it means they are sakin, produce an echoing sound with them. Read them with a bouncing sound. Yes, Fawad? Like what?
Yudhib,
that b sound. Don't read it with an a sound. Yudhib, no. Yudhib. When you merge, let it jump. Yudhib. This way, let it jump. Okay, let it, like an echoing sound. Yudhib kum. Ayyuhan nasu ayyuha If you join this with the word annas, you skip hamzatul wasl, you
and
skip
alif mad.
Alif mad, you skip the lam ta'rif. You directly join ha, ayyuha, to
noon mushadda.
The letter noon mushadda, yes. Ayyuhannasu. Do not read it. Ayyuha al-nasu. No way, okay? Ayyuhannasu. Wa ya'ti bi-akharin. Akharin. It's really beautiful how you change the a sound to a sound. Like light sound to a heavy sound. Bi-akharin. A-a-i. Akharin. Okay, change it very beautifully. وَيَأْتِي بِآخَرِينَ. The letter Jim says what? Huh?
Optional to stop.
Optional to stop here or continue. Good job, Hassan. Thank you. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ. We mentioned how we read the word Allah. عَلَى ذَلِكَ. If you look at the word عَلَى and ذَلِكَ, both have a baby alif on the top. See it?
Dagger alif.
Dagger alif, that's called small or tiny alif. That means you pronounce it with an A sound. The alif, extend the mat. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلَى ذَلِكَ قَدِيرًا. Changes to you? Hassan, tell us. قَدِيرًا.
قَدِيرًا.
قَدِيرًا. Ra is a heavy letter also. Ready to recite after me?
Yes.
Yes.
All right, let's go. Brothers and sisters, practice with us, please. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Walillahi ma fis samawati wa ma fil ard.
وللله ما في السماوات وما في الأرض
وكفى بالله وكيلا
وكفى بالله وكيلا
إن يشأ يذهبكم أيها الناس ويأتي بآخرين
إن يشأ يذهبكم أيها الناس ويأتي بآخرين
وكان الله على ذلك قديرا
وكان الله على ذلك قديرا
صدق الله العلي العظيم
صدق الله العلي العظيم.
Thank you so much, brothers and sisters. Thank you so much for being with us. Allah bless you, inshallah. Stay with IRB English Radio. Next session, inshallah, will be here with you the same time tomorrow. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Brother Fawad, Hassan Hussein, Ali Nasir, thank you so much for being with us. Inshallah, we'll see you in the next session. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa alihi tahirin.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم.
Let's recite the Quran. A joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نرقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر
return, part one.
The Wailing Wall, or the Western Wall of the Al-Aqsa Mosque.
Thank you. Shalom. I also know that I've come to Israel on the eve of a sacred holiday, the celebration of Passover. And that is where I would like to begin today. Just a few days from now, Jews here in Israel and around the world will sit with family and friends at the Seder table and celebrate with songs, wine, and symbolic foods at the center of Passover that makes this time of year so powerful. It's a story of centuries of slavery and years of wandering in the desert. A story of perseverance amidst persecution and faith in God and the Torah. It's a story about finding freedom in your own land. And for the Jewish people, this story is central to who you've become. But it's also a story that holds within it the universal human experience, with all of its suffering, but also all of its salvation. Jewish people sustained their unique identity and traditions, as well as a longing to return home. And while Jews achieved extraordinary success in many parts of the world, the dream of true freedom finally found its full expression in the Zionist idea, to be a free people in your homeland. And that's why I believe that Israel is rooted not just in history and tradition, but also in a simple and profound idea. The idea that people deserve to be free in a land of their own. Over the last 65 years, when Israel has been at its best, Israelis have demonstrated that responsibility does not end when you reach the promised land. It only begins.
Danny, you talked a great deal in part one about the narrative and the rights and it all being about rights. By what right? Because I look at you and you don't meet the classic stereotype in the West of a settler with a skull cap and a machine gun in the arm and a Torah in the other. Don't meet that. You're a secular man, I believe.
Yeah.
On what grounds, then, do you say you have a right to be in the West Bank when the international community says you have no right to be there?
As I said, it is my homeland.
You're from Argentina, I believe.
Yes, but as a Zionist, I believe that every Jew should, of course is entitled, but should live in the land of Israel.
That day they came at 10 o'clock. I was in the school. My grandma was making coffee. One of the settlers come inside and knocked at the door and ask her, this furniture for who? She said, which furniture? And she come out.
Do you ever feel bad, uncomfortable, guilty even when you see that in order to return, lots of other people had to leave against their will, some of whom are living in refugee camps?
Well, I am not sure they had to leave, they left. The fact that there is another ethnic group there, another national group, that feels dispossessed because of that, is tragic. I don't feel any, you know, remorse or burden on my conscience.
I hate them. I hate them for a reason, because they're making our lives worst life in the world.
They try to say we want to live in peace and coexistence. How coexistence? You come to my village, You occupy houses, you bring your security guards, the cooks is that the cooks you make with your donkey to ride on it.
Are you from Israel? Are you in Israel?
Palestine.
So in this area here, are there a lot of Israelis and Palestinians living together, Palestinians living together?
First of all, you are talking about the Palestinian area. You are in the Palestinian area here.
This here?
Here you are in the Palestinian area.
Okay.
It's for me, it's like, you know, when you come from the States, just you see Netanyahu is a hero. For us, he's a criminal.
Yeah.
And
if Netanyahu, if he's going to protect the Jews, he needs to protect you.
No, he doesn't protect me. He's a criminal. He's a criminal for me.
He's a criminal. You want the same rights as the settlers.
I don't want the same rights as the settlers. I want them to leave my house.
This is my house. This is my house.
Israelis occupied the West Bank that hadn't been occupied after 1967, after a war with three Arab countries. 20 years after the initial raid, Israel won the battle and reached the locations it had in mind based on a strategic plan. But based on international law, occupying the West Bank has been illegal. The Israelis have put many obstacles for the Palestinian movement. They have erected a separation wall and have set up numerous checkpoints in order to limit the Palestinians' presence to pave the way for construction of Israeli settlements. Since then, 300,000 Israelis have been settled in the West Bank. Al-Quds is home to several sacred places like the Dome of the Rock, which is the most famous symbol in this city, and the Al-Aqsa Mosque as the first Qibla of the Muslims in the world. It is one of the contentious issues between the Israelis and Palestinians.
Wanted to disconnect the Jews from Jerusalem, from Temple Mount. I represented the connection between the people of Israel and Temple Mount. From the moment he attacked me, the activity has grown and much momentum, and we're just growing and growing, and the interest in Temple Mount by Jews has been increasing daily.
Life is full of choices. Choose the best option. Visit us at parstoday.ir/en. IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.